Luke chapter 19, starting at verse number 1. Text says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. We are probing the imagination of God and probing the imagination of the church. You will hear this refrain throughout the next few months as we consider the question, what if? The first leg of this probing is to consider what if we met Jesus afresh every day. We are looking at a few encounters that Jesus had as recorded in the Gospels. More than that, we are praying that with great expectation that we ourselves will have said encounters with Jesus. Tomorrow, some of you have the day off in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I wish I could have met that man. I make it no secret that as far as earthly figures are concerned, no one has had, other than, you know, my father, but no one has had a greater impact on my view of ministry and service than Dr. Martin Luther King. Not because he was some perfect man. He was actually very deeply flawed in some regards. But what he did for this nation, for our communities, it just cannot be ignored. A few years ago, I was in a Christian bookstore, Cokesbury bookstore, and I was looking at some books, and this older white gentleman stood next to me, and we were looking at books, and he just struck up a conversation. He said, hey, young guy, what you looking at? And I told him, and then he asked me, he said, hey, where'd you go to seminary? I told him the college I went to, and he said, I went to Boston University. And I looked at him, trying to gauge his age there, and I thought that, you know, Martin Luther King went to Boston University, and he's probably about the same age as Martin Luther King, or how old Martin Luther King would be if he was still alive. And so I was about to ask him, he says, yeah, you might know one of my classmates. He says, yeah, I went to school with Martin Luther King. And of course, I'm now putty in his hands. I'm like, just tell me everything you know. Just what? And he began to talk about him, and he talked about how Martin Luther King would walk around campus, and that students would literally just follow him. There would just be crowds of people that would just follow him. Martin Luther King would stop at a bench and eat a sandwich, and students would just sit in the grass in front of him and just listen to him talk. That's how big his influence was. That's how popular he was. Do you know someone like that? Have you ever wanted to be around someone that was popular? That's one thing to meet someone popular at the mall or in passing somewhere, or you go to a concert or someone and see someone famous, go to a ball game and see someone famous. But what if that famous person was in your house? The popularity of Jesus can't be understated. The Gospels record the narrative of Jesus, who was busy, popular, and in demand. To understand Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, it's important to see the popularity of Jesus. Now, he was the Messiah. He was God in flesh. He was a great and influential teacher, and he had a following. It's why so many people tried to get to him. Prior to the story of Zacchaeus, there was a ruler. A ruler who came to Jesus with a question. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, after a short exchange, Jesus tells the man to go sell all that he has and give it to the poor and to then follow. The ruler went away in great distress. He was sorrowful, the text says, because he had many possessions. Jesus then pronounces a warning about the rich, saying, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples who witnessed this exchange and heard Jesus' pronouncement asked, well, who then can be saved? To which Jesus replies, what is possible with God? What is impossible with man? Is possible with God. And that question that the disciples asked, that question would fuel the theme for the stories to follow. Jesus was on the move toward the town of Jericho. And on his way, he encountered a blind man. The blind man called out to Jesus for mercy, for help. And Jesus healed the man, citing that the man's faith had healed him. Now, it should come to at no surprise that Jesus was well sought out and crowds wanted to see him. They wanted to be healed by him and perhaps touched by him and they wanted to be associated with him. This crowd included a man named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. The text says chief tax collector. He must have been a prominent man in Jericho and the surrounding areas. Now, as a Jewish tax collector, he would not have been that popular in the sense of being popular and well liked, particularly by pious Jews. The collectors were known for their blatant fraud and over collection of taxes well beyond what was fair and correct. They were wealthy men because they were able to fill their pockets with fraudulent funds. Oh, by the way, he was short. It seems odd that Luke offers such a description. But without reading into it, his physical status, stature is a detail in the story to explain the lengths that people would go to see Jesus. He couldn't see over the crowd, so he went ahead of the crowd, and the text says he climbed up in a sycamore tree. What a sight. The chief tax collector in town climbing a tree to see a celebrity. That just doesn't match. That doesn't make sense. You know, that would be like the time I saw Khaki, you know, buff, you know, sports guy. That time all those people was lined up to get those Justin Bieber tickets and he was at the front row. That doesn't match. I mean, if you like Bieber, you like Bieber Khaki. You know, that's just how it goes. But, you know, Zacchaeus' actions highlights his determination to encounter this guy named Jesus. Now we don't know if Jesus took note of Zacchaeus because he was up in a tree or if Jesus had in mind to meet with Zacchaeus all along. Remember, as the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus would have been well known in the region. In a shocking twist, Jesus calls out to the man by name. Zacchaeus, come down here. I'm coming to your house today. I'm not sure I'm always comfortable with people saying, hey, I'm about to come over to your house whether you like it or not. But you know what I love about this? I love that Jesus called him by his name. He didn't call him by his occupation. He didn't call him by his sin. He didn't call him by the markers that society had put on him. He called him by his name. You know what I love about this? I love that Jesus noticed him. It was crowds and crowds and crowds of people. Yet Jesus took time to notice him. It's a quality that I wish we in the body of Christ had more often. That we spend time and slow down long enough to just notice people. How many times have we walked past people only to find out later on that there was something going on? It's because we were too fast and we didn't just slow down and just notice them. You know what I love about this story? I love that he invaded Zacchaeus' space. Didn't ask permission. Didn't calculate. Just said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house, bruh. You know what I love about this story? I love that Zacchaeus didn't reject the offer, but said, okay, come on. You know what I'm not surprised about in this story? That people will be people. That even though Jesus called him by his name, even though Jesus welcomed him, even though Jesus noticed him, even though Jesus reached out to him, the people couldn't forget he's a sinner. Oh, if they knew what he was doing and who he was hanging around with. I'm not surprised. At his first opportunity, Zacchaeus makes a declaration to Jesus. We don't know if this was a declaration made in response to any specific teaching that Jesus had made. Maybe while they were staying at the house, Jesus began to speak to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus, in response to that teaching, made a declaration. Maybe this is something that Zacchaeus had been doing all along, and he was reporting to Jesus what he had already been doing. Or maybe he was just caught up in a moment, and he just spoke the first things that come out of his mouth. We don't know. But he makes a declaration in response to this encounter with Jesus. Zacchaeus makes a declaration of faith and commitment. His declaration has elements of repentance and elements of restitution. It has elements of a new frame of mind, a new frame of reference, and a new outlook on life. He is prepared to liquidate half of his stuff and donate those proceeds to the poor. And he is prepared to give back all the money he has received through trickery and fraud up to four times the amount. It was a sign of a newfound devotion. And it was a customary response to an encounter with Jesus. When you encounter Jesus, change happens. In Luke's gospel, and in his follow-up volume, the book of Acts, riches and possessions and what followers of Jesus do with them are important. Now remember, we started this exploration of this text by looking at stories that took place before. We looked at the story of the rich ruler who was unwilling to part with his riches. That rich man boasted about how he kept all the commandments. We weren't just talking about John Q. Public rich guy. We were talking about spiritual rich guy. The rich guy that says, man, I keep all of these commandments. I honor my mother and father. I don't steal. I don't lie. I haven't committed adultery. I'm a good guy. I'm a spiritual guy. Now, what do I need to do to have eternal life? And to this rich man, Jesus says, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And the rich man says, huh? You know how when you get caught and you say, huh? You know what I mean? But we get down to the story of Zacchaeus, a taxer, a sinner, an unrighteous man, and what is his response to an encounter of Jesus. This is the unspiritual guy, but his response is to do the very thing that Jesus asked the spiritual man to do. What a contrast. No. Zacchaeus, a man, not Zacchaeus the tax collector, not Zacchaeus the sinner, the man that Jesus says to this man because of his response. Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. In stark contrast, this wealthy man, who seemingly has become rich through deception and embezzlement, now stands prepared to follow Jesus, to give back all that he received through deception and fraud. He's ready to make amends for his wrongdoing. Remember the questions the disciples asked? Who can be saved? For anyone who thought that Jesus' pronouncement about the rich was a pronouncement to say that there was no way that a rich person could be saved, I give you Zacchaeus. You know what I love about this story? I love that Zacchaeus was bold enough to confess his sin. We struggle with that, don't we? We struggle with coming to grips and laying our cards on a table and just saying, you know what? I'm flawed. I've got issues. I've got sin. Now, part of that is just fear, because we don't want to be known as flawed. We don't want to be known as weak. But part of that is because of what I wasn't surprised at earlier in the story. People will be people. And sometimes when you make that confession, people do all types of things with it. They label you. They make pronouncements on you that certainly aren't the pronouncements of God. But I love that Zacchaeus, despite all of that, as he stands face to face with the Messiah, as he stands face to face with Jesus, says, I'm a sinner. I've cheated people. I've wronged people. And I want to change. I love that Zacchaeus was courageous enough to face those whom he had defrauded. It was good enough for me that he just confessed to Jesus. Hey, this is what I've done. But do you see Zacchaeus being courageous enough to go back to those whom he stole money from and say, I've wronged you, and here's my restitution? I love that Zacchaeus was devoted enough to give half of his possessions to the poor. Oh, we're so connected to our stuff. We're so connected to our stuff. And when it comes to the plight of the poor, I know that all of us in here want to do what we can do to help the poor. But how willing are we to go home, sell our flat screens, sell our DVD players, sell our watch collection, and give those proceeds to the poor? I love that Zacchaeus was excited enough to receive Jesus into his home and to receive the salvation offered by him. And his identity was then not cemented by his occupation or his sin, but now his new life with Jesus. It's all right to say that I sin from time to time, but it's not okay for you or me to think that our identity is cemented by that sin. But it's cemented by the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. So, what if Jesus asked to stay the night at your house? What would he tell you? What would you ask him? What would you confess? What declarations would you make about a new life you intend to live? What is Jesus saying to you in your encounters with him? What do you need for Jesus to tell you in your encounters with him? Our ears open and wide, listening to what so many others are saying about you. You see, we listen to people telling us we're not good enough. We hear people saying we're not rich enough. We hear people saying we're not worthy enough. We hear people saying that our sins are too thick to be washed away. But in spite of what other people say, what is Jesus saying to you in your encounter? I imagine that so many people were telling Zacchaeus the same things. You sinner. You tax collector. You traitor. Shorty, get out of here. Jesus will want nothing to do with you. Look at him. Look at that coward up in a tree. That's how good you are. Good to climb a tree and look stupid. But that was other people. That was other people. This was Jesus. Zacchaeus. He called him by name. As I look out into the audience, and please, as I say, I look out to the audience, just imagine that I'm sitting there in the audience with you. I see those who've lied. I see those who have murdered, not with a knife or a gun, but with words, with actions. I see sexually immoral things having been done. But this is Jesus not saying adulterer, liar, thief. But here's Jesus calling you by name. Rebecca, Don, and Tim, and Terrence, and Patricia. Sharon, and Travis, and Joel, and Karen, and Paula, and Darlene, and Michelle. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't identify us by our sin, but by our name? Mercy. That's Jesus. Who says, I'm coming to your house. Jesus cut through the cultural mess, the cultural divide of him being a great teacher and going into the house of a sinner. He cut through all of that. Said, I'm coming to your house. Are you ready for the invasion of Jesus? That was Jesus who says, today salvation has come to your house. Which answers the question. Remember from that initial story? Who can be saved? All those that would allow him to come into that house. What if we were more like Jesus when we met other Zacchaeuses? Would we look beyond the labels and see a name and see a story? See, I believe that behind every sin, there's a story. And if we want to get the story, let's stop rushing to label. Let's start rushing to call him by name. Would we be more like Jesus? Would we eat with them, fellowship with them, hang with them? Or would we say, ew, get away? Would we offer to them the story of God? God's story of salvation. What if after we encountered Jesus, we were like Zacchaeus? Would we be willing to part with our possessions to minister to the poor? Would we be courageous enough to engage in relationship reconciliation after discovering that we've wronged people? Would we be willing to go and face those whom we hurt? Would we receive God's gift of salvation without being consumed with our shortcomings, thinking that, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, and understand that it's the mercy of God that saves, not our works? What if we were willing to do whatever it took to see and encounter Jesus? What if we were really willing to run ahead of the crowds and climb the trees so that we could just see him? What if God said, I'm coming to your house today? What if we fully accepted God's gift of salvation and it permeated our existence, our experience, and all of our expectations? Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Praise be to God that with God, it is possible for anyone to be saved. And church, I pray that we would live and that we would flourish in that truth. What would happen if Jesus came to your house today? It will continue to be my prayer that you would open your hearts, open your minds, open the possibilities of your imagination, that you would not close yourself to having a full-blown encounter with Jesus Christ. And understanding that an encounter with Jesus Christ will result in change. Don't be so comfortable with who you are right now. Don't be so comfortable with what you have built yourself up to be in all these years that you've lived on this earth, and you're at a place where, you know what, I'm really good with myself right now. I'm really cool with myself right now. Don't become so settled with where you are right now that you would dare spurn the invitation of God, the invitation of Jesus, him inviting himself into your house to have an encounter with you and to change you. Because you might be good enough, but with Jesus, you will be better. That's my prayer. It's my passionate prayer. And believe me, I pray this, my passionate prayer, that the church of Christ, the body of Christ, everyone in here, would open your arms, open your eyes, open your ears, open your hearts, and allow Jesus to invade your space. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the story of Zacchaeus. Gives us so much hope for ourselves, gives us so much hope for this world. Father, if we're ever consumed with the question, who can be saved? If we're ever consumed with this idea that there's just some people that just won't turn the switch. They can't change. God, thank you for giving us the story of Zacchaeus, because there were so many people who pronounced to him, there's no way that he could change. There's no way that he can be impacted by this story of Jesus. But he was. God, he was impacted so strongly that he showed up those that we deem religious. And so, God, we pray that we would take a cue from this encounter story. A cue that an encounter with the living God, an encounter with Jesus, will result in change. Father, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for your pursuit of us. God, what we see in this story is your relentless pursuit of us. Thank you for seeking and saving the lost. And Father, I pray that we would embody that mantra, we would embody that truth. So in turn, as we are passionate followers of Jesus Christ, that we would seek and save the lost, at least seek and offer your gift of salvation to them, knowing full well that it's going to be you that's going to do the drawing, you that's going to be doing the saving. Father, we want to meet you. And God, I pray for everyone in here that they would have an encounter with Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. the church could minister to you in any way, praying for you. If you have needs, you want to make known to the body, you want to be surrounded, you want to be loved on, we would love the opportunity to minister to you. If you want to have a conversation about Jesus, you want to have a conversation of what it means to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus, you just want to know more about Jesus, you want to just read scripture with someone, or you want to study scripture with someone, we would love to offer you that ministry. Or maybe you've been doing that, you've been reading about Jesus, you've been talking about Jesus, you've been studying about Jesus, you've been studying about God and the church and all that he has to offer. And you want to make a public commitment to him by a profession of faith, and perhaps you want to that profession of faith to then lead into you being buried in water baptism. We can also offer that ministry to you as we sing this song about a fountain that's flowing for all of us. It's free. It's available. And we pray that you would take advantage, that you would receive God's gift of salvation today. Let's stand up. Let's sing this song.